This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Well, I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 13. Tonight I want to study with you on the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. In Revelation, chapter number 13, and I'm looking tonight at several verses, and I want you to leave your Bibles open. And tonight, those of you that love prophecy, those of you that love taking notes, this is going to be one of those messages where you can take a lot of notes. And I'm hoping, I'm praying, I don't know how much shouting you're going to do. This is one of those messages that I hope really open your eyes and let you really understand what's going on in our day, what's going on in our culture, and what's going on in the world. Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So we're in the middle of the tribulation. We are probably about 3.5 years into the tribulation time. And there is a man that has risen up that we know as the Antichrist. The Bible refers to him as the beast. Now, he rises up to solve all the world's problems, and he signs a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. We are halfway through that peace treaty. And another man has risen up. But this man is not a political leader. This man is a religious leader. And they call him the beast. The difference between these two beasts is in their appearance. This beast, he has the appearance of a lamb, but he talks like a dragon. Now, this is what you've got to understand about that. Lambs in the Bible were pictures of peace. They were pictures of tranquility. This man in chapter 13 that we're reading about, this is a man that comes across as a religious pontiff. He is a religious leader. But when he opens up his mouth, he's got the words of a dragon. Now, in the Bible, when you see the dragon, that's always a picture of Satan. That's how you know that whoever this is, he is a false prophet from Satan. Now, I'm going to show you in just a second who he is, but let's continue reading in verse number 16. Because he's built this big image of the Antichrist, and he's asking people to worship this big image. And he kills anybody. Now, he's got so much power from Satan that he can make the image talk, he can make the image move, and he can make the image do all types of wonders. So much so that people of the world are so enamored at this moving image, they bow down and worship. But it doesn't end there. In verse 16 it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understand, that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. When John writes chapter number 13, the church has been catapulted out of this world. When you come to chapter number 13, in the timeline of the Revelation, the church of Jesus Christ, the true remnant of God, is not in the world anymore. We are not here. We leave after chapter 3, and you don't see the church again until chapter number 19. Where did the church go? I don't know. But it's somewhere where he is, and it's somewhere where they're feasting, and it's somewhere where they're happy, and it's somewhere where they're reunited. It's somewhere where they're giving out robes, and they're giving out crowns. It's somewhere where they're crying glory to God in the highest. And they're crying, worthy is the risen Lamb. And they're saying, blessed is the Almighty Potentate. I don't know where it is, but I know it's somewhere that I want to be, and I look forward to going. But while that is going on up there, there is hell on earth that is breaking out down here. And 7 years of tribulation is unleashed on the earth. This tribulation is not just, people say that, I read an article from an idiot the other day, and he said, how does it feel to be living in the tribulation? Honey, let me tell you something. This right here would not even serve as a vacation day in the tribulation period. It's going to be so bad that the world itself begins to hemorrhage, and it begins to have birth, and it begins to rip itself apart. It's going to be every judgment in the entire Bible taking place all within a 7 year period. And it's really not even a 7 year period. The majority of the judgments take place in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's going to include everything from a nuclear holocaust, everything to a meteor shower that comes down and a comet hits the earth, and they call the comet Wormwood. It is so bad that brother turn against brother. There's no bread to be found. There's no water to be found. Many of the rivers and the oceans are turned to blood. The majority, the third of the world's population, is going to die within the first set of that 3.5 year trip. I mean, it is a time when you and I cannot even fathom what it's going to be like. They say over 300,000 people have died in America from the coronavirus. That is what's going to happen in the first millisecond of that first set of judgments. It is not even to be compared. And the world is reeling and rocking. And at the same time, all of humanity is looking for somebody that can give them hope. And that's why they turn whole hog to this man that they call the Antichrist. You say they wouldn't do that. Well, let's just stop and look at what this nation has done. People that we've... Now, some of you are going to get real mad here in just a second. Don't worry. I'll make you madder before this whole thing is over with. There is a man that rose up and nobody had ever heard of him. Nobody had ever dealt with him. A man whose name was Anthony Fauci. I'm not for him or against him. I'm just saying, within just a course of 6 months, the entire nation... If he said jump, people said how high. If he said wear this, do that, go here, do that. It's just this innate desire for hope and help and answers. You say, what in the world's going on? There is a system at work in the world right now. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, here's what John says. John's looking at this vision and he looks out. And in this vision, he said, there's this image that's set up. And people that won't worship that image are killed on the spot. People have often said that people that don't take the image, the mark of the beast, are killed. That's not why they're killed. They're killed because they won't worship the image. That's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were a type of in the Old Testament. They're a type of that belief. God, I feel preaching in my soul right now. They're a type of that believing remnant in Israel that says we will not bend, we will not bow, but this time they will burn. They will pay the price for their rebellion in the tribulation. And in this time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible says that the world is so enamored with this man, the Antichrist, that at that moment he says, let's come up with a system of economics. And we can't trust anything, so what we'll do is we'll put a mark on people in their right hand or in their forehead. And it will be called the mark of the beast. Write these three things down right quickly about the mark of the beast. Number one, the mark of the beast is a described mark. The Bible mentions this mark in Revelation, seven different scriptures. There are seven times in the book of the Revelation where this mark is mentioned. It's called the mark of the beast. Number two, this is a definite mark. It is not to be mistaken. It will not be I wonder if I'm taking a mark. Now, I've heard this, and I hope this hurts your feelings. It probably is going to anyway, so I may as well hope it does. And there's people that talk about the vaccine, and they talk about, well, you're getting ready for the mark of the beast. No, when people take the mark of the beast, they will know they are taking the mark of the beast. It's not a matter, I got a shot, and I hope it's not the mark. No. It is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, going to be. How do I know that? In Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 2. Listen to what the Bible says. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. It was a mark that was known. When you take this, I'm taking this because I agree with the man that's put it out. Here's the third thing it was. Here's what you got to understand about the mark of the beast. It was a damning mark. People that take the mark of the beast will all go to hell. Let me give you a verse in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 9 and 10. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. Now here's a question. Why does somebody that receives the mark of the beast in their hand or in their forehead, why are they automatically doomed and damned for all of eternity? It's not because they took the mark. It is because they trusted in the Antichrist, and they said, by taking the mark, I believe in his system, I believe in his way, I believe in his methodology, I believe in his doctrine, I believe in his process, I want to serve him. And so people that do that, they are sealing, remember that, they are sealing, don't forget that, they are sealing their own fate. Now this message is one of those messages about the mark of the beast. Everybody has heard a little bit about it, and from that little bit they've heard, they have formed these big opinions. You talk to anybody about the mark of the beast, they'll tell you anything you want to hear about it, and about all of it's wrong. You know why? Because we've never heard what the Bible really says. I was reading several articles the other day. I've got two articles I want to show you. There was this pastor, and I will show you, put this article up here. It was this pastor, this is what he said. He said that the coronavirus was conditioning people to take the mark of the beast. Now, he may be right, he may be wrong, but here's what I'm trying to get to. What I'm trying to get to is that there is a connection to be made with what's going on in the world and what's going to be happening in the tribulation. Here's one that came out of South Africa. The Chief Justice of the South African Supreme Court. Some of you may have seen this. And the newspapers that I give you, these are not like the National Enquirer or things like that. These are reputable news articles and news organizations. The Supreme Court said that people, they link the COVID vaccine to Satanism. Now here's a question. Number one, time out. The mark of the beast is not going to be a medical mark. When you take the mark of the beast, you are taking that because you're saying, I follow and worship that man right there. If you take the COVID vaccine, I'm just going to go ahead and help you as your pastor. That's your business between you and your doctor, and you don't really need to be listening to anybody else. That's your decision. You need to make it. Don't read homeschool blogs. You need to actually read a medical journal and talk to your doctor about that thing, not because Sister Lucy heard that it had so-and-so and such-and-such. I've read all those articles you people sent me. Y'all crazy, and that's your problem right now. You are out of your mind. You need to talk to your doctor about it. But there is something going on. I want to give you a verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 3. 1 John 4 and verse number, chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ, that he's come in the flesh, is not of God. It's that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye, now watch this, whereof you have heard it should come. But watch what John says. Even now, it's already in the world. Here's what you got to understand, beloved. This world is being fashioned and formed into the system of Antichrist, not over a vaccine. That's one small piece of the puzzle. Now, how does that fit in? Here's how it fits in. Because here's what's going to happen. They're going to start saying, if you don't take this, you can't travel here. If you don't take that, you can't go here. If you don't take that, you can't do this. And it's just a fashioning in this nation. Now, if you take it, help yourself. If you don't take it, help yourself. That's none of my business. Here's what I am telling you. Don't think that just because the COVID vaccine has come out that the mark of the beast is here. No, no, no. This is just a small piece of a big puzzle that's being formed and fashioned. And it's all going to culminate with the mark of the beast. Now here's the question I have. I have four things I'll give you. Four things about this beast I want to show you. And I pray that when you get done with this, maybe we'll shout a little bit, but I hope your mind and your spirit are encouraged. Number one. Now here's the question. Number one. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to say. Will Christians take the mark of the beast? No. How do I know that? Because everybody in this room that is saved, you ain't going to have the opportunity to take the mark of the beast. You're checking out of here, honey, when a trumpet sounds and we're heading up to the house. You ain't even going to have an opportunity to deal with that thing, so don't worry about it. Don't get your nerves all tore up that you're going to accidentally mess up and let them insert a chip into you and it's really going to be the mark of the beast when the Antichrist... No, honey, I'm going to be sitting at the table eating my lamb chop and glorying in the crowns that the God of heaven has given to me, eating that pita bread, dipping it down in that hummus, and taking me another sip of sweet tea in my heavenly holy mansion. Don't worry about all that stuff. It won't happen until we're out of here. Now, in the tribulation, those believers that weren't saved and those Jews that get saved in the tribulation, they're going to have to make a choice. Let me give you four things. Number one, the timing of the mark. When is this mark going to come about? Well, you've got to look backwards. Look at what it says in chapter number 13 and verse number 14. In chapter 13 and verse 14... Now remember, I got to teach you a little bit before I can preach to you. So stay with me while I teach and then I'll get into the preach. Look at what it says in verse 14. When is it going to happen? Watch this. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. The giving of the mark of the beast follows a resurrection. Here's what happens. Back in chapter number 12, we find out that in the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist at some place, some way, some shape, some form, some fashion, there is an assassination attempt on his life. And there is a sword that meets his head. We don't know how that is. The Bible says sword. I don't know if that's an arrow. I don't know if that's a bullet. But there is an assassination attempt. And he is given a deadly wound. It is a wound that should kill him. It is a wound that should render him dead. How do I know that? If you want to make a note, it's in chapter 12, verse number 3. It's in chapter 12. Chapter 13, verse number 3. It's in chapter 13, verse number 3. There is a deadly wound that is given to this beast. And here's what happens. As he lay on his deathbed, the false prophet comes into his room. And there is a miracle that is done by Satan, whereby the false prophet lifts up the Antichrist, and there is a seeming resurrection. What's that a counterfeit of? It's a counterfeit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's what they're going to say. Because at this point, the world, listen, when the rapture happens, it's a secret coming. The world's not going to see. People say this all the time, that when the rapture happens, they're going to look around and they're going to say, oh, they're gone. No. They're not going to know we're gone. They're not going to put two and two together. You say, but they'll never forget us. How many of you remember 2 years ago that airplane, MH370, that went missing in the Indian Ocean? And they looked for it for about 2 weeks. Has anybody ever found that plane? No. Does anybody know where it went? No. Is anybody out there looking for it? No. Men have short memories, and they will forget every one of us that are gone. But for all these years, these crazy people have been shouting about a Christ that will be resurrected from the dead. And on that day when the Antichrist lifts up off his deathbed, the false prophet, he's going to look at him and say, this is the Son of God. At that moment, the world goes into a frenzy. They go into an utter frenzy. How do I know? Because if you were to look over in chapter 13 and verse 14, the verse that we read just a moment ago, it says that they made an image to him. Why did they make an image? To do what? Worship him. Listen, one of the most beloved presidents, I ain't figured it out yet, but one of the most beloved presidents in all of America was Barack Obama. Now, I can't figure that mess out. You go ahead and figure that junk out. I don't have a clue. Have they built any 90-foot towers to him? No. The most beloved president in all of America was Abraham Lincoln. You know what they just did in Boston the other day? They took his statue down. But this man that dies and is raised back, they're so enamored, they on the spot build a tower to him, and they start falling down and worshiping. So here's the question. When is the mark of the beast going to be given? It's after the false resurrection of the Antichrist. Now, here's the second thing. Who is the one that pushes the mark? Number two, let me show you the agent that pushes the mark of the beast. If you look in verse number 16, it says this of this chapter. The beginning of the verse, and he causeth all. Who's the he? That's the false prophet. Now let me give you a Bible lesson right quickly. You ready? There is a Trinity in heaven. God the Father. Now talk to me. Don't sit there like Methodist. Talk to me. God the Father. God the Holy Ghost. That's the real Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And everything about Him's real. He's got a real word. He's got real blood. He's got a real church. He's got a real people. Everything about Him. Here's what you've got to understand. For everything that God has real, the devil has a counterfeit. It's the same with the Holy Trinity. Now watch this. If you don't get this, you'll miss all of Revelation. The counterfeit to God the Father is Satan. The counterfeit to God the Son, the Antichrist. Who's the counterfeit to the Holy Spirit? The false prophet. You see, who was it, according to Romans chapter 8, that on that third glorious resurrection morning went into that tomb and gave Jesus a grand and glorious wake-up call? Romans chapter 8, verse number 12. And he, the Holy Ghost of God, woke him up. What's the false prophet? He's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Who's going to wake up the false Christ? The false spirit. Now here's what you got to understand. For everything the devil has real. Watch this. Does God have a real church? Does the devil have a fake church? Does God have a real way of salvation? Does the devil have a false way of salvation? Does God have a real Bible? Does the devil have his counterfeits? Is what you got to understand. Everything God has real, The devil has a counterfeit. Now here's the lesson. You ready? Because you need to apply this to your life. There are real promises that God makes to you. There are real things God tells you. There are real things God wants. But the devil has... There's a real spouse God wants you to marry, but the devil has a counterfeit. There's a real house God wants you to have, but the devil has a counterfeit. There's a real job God wants you to have, but the devil has a counterfeit. There are real people and positions and things and promises, but if you let the devil, he'll counterfeit you. Now here's the question. How do you know the difference between the realness of God and the counterfeit of the devil? You ready? We learn it from this passage. Watch what it says in verse number 14. Watch what they do in verse number 14. It says in verse number 14 that when the devil, the false prophet, deceives them, they cheer and they worship and they're so excited. They say, give me more. And they want a what? A mark in their hand. It wasn't enough to worship the beast. Now here's how you know the difference between the real of God and the counterfeit of the devil. The devil and his works will make you stand up and cheer, wanting more. The real things of God will make you bow down in awe, shocked and amazed at how it was brought to pass. If something in your life makes you say, goody, 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 give me more, it's probably from the devil. But if there's something that comes across in your life and you say, I have no idea how this was brought to pass. I don't know how that person came in my life. I don't know how that situation got worked out. I don't know how I got into that. I don't know how that was paid. I don't know how I made it through that. You can almost guarantee that was the realness of the God of heaven. So the false prophet comes and he causes them to take this mark. Here's a question I have. Number three, what was this mark a counterfeit of? You see, this mark was a counterfeit to something. Now, you with me? Don't jump off the wagon. You ready? I know you're thinking, where's he going? I'm going right now to where I've been trying to go. If you look at that word mark in your Bible, that word mark, it is the Greek word. Don't write this down. You'll never remember it. You don't matter. You don't care about my Greek anyways. It's the Greek word karagma. And here's what it means. It means to literally split the skin. To split the skin. To break the skin somehow. Somehow in some way. This mark here or here, it breaks the skin. That's what the word mark means. Now, what does that mean? Could that be some biometric chip? Would that break the skin? They got to cut you to get it in. Could it be like they did back in the Roman days when they would put a tattoo of a soldier on the arm or on the hand? That could be. But somehow and some way, they're going to have to split the skin of that person. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why in the world would the Antichrist have to mark people? Why would he want to mark people? What's he counterfeiting? There's a verse in the book of Revelation chapter number 7 and verse number 4. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 4, the Bible says this, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed." Which were sealed out of every tribe. Now, wait a second. Time out. What's going on? Here's what happens. About halfway through the first part of the tribulation, the first half of the tribulation, God says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And God raises up on the spot 144,000 Jewish preachers. That day, he puts all the knowledge in their mind. He puts the anointing of God in their mind. And there's 12,000 preachers from every one of the 12 tribes of Israel that stand up. Now, time out. Here's a question. If you've ever been to Israel with me, there's one thing that you'll find when you go over there. Nobody knows what tribe they're from. Nobody knows if they're from the tribe of Levi, because after the Babylonian captivity, and especially after the Roman dispersion, nobody knew. Everybody lost the records. They were destroyed by Titus and his army. Nobody knows what and who is from what tribe. Now, how are they going to know in the tribulation who's from what tribe? Now, people have told me this. They said, God's just going to do a supernatural thing. He very well could. Or there's a new little invention that's come about in the last decade and a half called DNA. And through DNA, they're going to find the true and righteous preachers. Now, here's what happens. When those true and righteous preachers stand up, God looks at them and He slaps a seal on their forehead. Now, here is the difference. When you look at seals in the Bible, when you think about seals in the Bible, seals are that which go on the outside. A seal doesn't have to break the skin when it's put on there. The mark had to break the skin. My God, I'm going somewhere and I know where I'm going. That's why y'all aren't as excited about me when I get there. That seal doesn't break the skin, but the mark has to break the skin. Those that are saved don't have to break the skin, but those that are serving the Antichrist have got to be ripped open in order to be marked by their God. Why, what, and who is God trying to show us? Now watch this. Why don't the people of God in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, why don't they have to be cut open? I'll tell you why. Because they're going to lift their eyes to their Messiah, who had already been cut open. He's already been split in half. He's already had the wounds. He's already had the stripes. And when He died that day, God the Father said, "It is finished. It is sufficient." Nobody's ever going to have to be split open for their salvation. Nobody's ever going to have to be cut or bruised for their salvation. It's all in Christ. It's by Christ. It's through Christ. It's according to Christ. It's by His stripes we've been healed. It's by His blood we've been sealed. It's by His grace. The reason they have to be striped is because they're still in type trying to earn their own salvation. That's why they have to be marked and cut. Now, time out. That's those Jewish preachers. Let me just help the Gentile church. Any Jews in the house? I didn't think so. If you ain't a Jew, you a Gentile. Any Gentiles in the house? You say, "Preacher, why are you so excited?" Because I remember when Brother Paul was writing to those Ephesian believers over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1 and verse number 13. And he said this. He said, "In whom also ye, after ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." I know you can't see it right now, but across the forehead of my life and across the soul of my spirit, there is a seal, and I didn't have to get it. I didn't have to hurt for it. I didn't have to bleed for it. I didn't have to die for it. It was a blessed Holy Ghost of God that placed it on me. You know why I didn't have to bleed for it? I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have to die for it. And I didn't have to hurt for it, because Jesus bled for it, and Jesus died for it, and Jesus paid for it, and Jesus was wounded for it. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I give you the same offer that preacher gave me that day, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You can lose the bad ones, you can lose the bleak ones, you can lose the black ones, you can lose them all. It's by His stripes we've been healed. But that's why they've got to be marked. It's the mark of the beast. Now, are you ready? You ready? I ain't even got to where I'm going yet. Are you ready? Now let's look at number 4. The description. Can y'all, if you get bored and you want to go, just help yourself. But I got to go somewhere. Let me give you the description of this mark. He says in verse number 17 and 18 of chapter 13, there's a couple of things about it. Number one, it tells us the synonyms. Let's look at verse 17. "That no man might buy or sell, save that he had," now watch this, "the mark," or "the name of the beast," or "the number of his name." Now he uses three phrases to describe one thing: the mark, the name, the number. All three of those are the same thing. They all equal the same thing. Now, what is the number? What is the name? The Bible doesn't tell us what his name is, but it does tell it, and it doesn't tell us what the mark is, but it does tell us what the number is. Look in verse number 18. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of the man, and his number is 600. 666. That's 666. That's where you get that from. So evidently, now I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be a barcode. I don't know if it's going to be some biometric data. I have no idea. But on their forehead or on their hand, whether it's big like a tattoo or if it's small like a chip, Somewhere on that is going to be the numbers 666. And those numbers are going to equal His name. What is that talking about? That's the oddest thing. See, here's the problem. Brother Ralph used to tell me this all the time. He said, we're not Jewish enough to understand our Bibles unless there is this thing called gematria. And here's what that means. I'm going to give you an illustration. For every Hebrew letter, it has a corresponding number. Now, don't try to read that. I'm just giving you the illustration of it. So, for instance, the letter Alpha or Aleph is the first Hebrew letter. It has an equivalent of one. So in a word, if a word has the letter Aleph in it, it is going to have an equation of one. So Bet, Gamet, all the way through, each letter has a numeric value. It's the same in Greek. I'll show you this in Greek. Okay, so Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, all the way down through. And for every letter, so for instance, if my name was spelt out in Greek, and if it was five letters in Greek, I would take the T, and it would have a number. And then the Y, and it would have a number. And I would add that up. This number plus this number plus this number plus this number plus this number. It would have an equivalent, and my name would be a number. That's what that means. So whenever they go to add up, and I'm going to leave this up here. Whenever they go to add up the Antichrist's name, when it's going to equal 666. And there's been all types of, for instance, somebody one time took the English equivalent of this. It was a foolish thing, but they took the English equivalent of this and added up Adolf Hitler's name and thought it added up to 666. It doesn't. One time there's several theologians, they believe that Nero was the Antichrist, and they say that Nero's name adds up to 666, and it actually does. The problem with that is you have to use the Latin version of this, and God didn't speak Latin in the Bible. He spoke Hebrew and Greek, so that doesn't work. We don't know what His name is, but watch this. If this man, his number is 666. The Bible makes a statement in verse number 18. Let's look back at verse 18. This number in verse 18, it is the number of a man. You see, his number means that he is the quintessential man. He is the perfection of humanity. And where does he lead people? To the lake of fire. Now watch this. What victory do we have? Now I could go all night with this. I teach an entire class of Bible study. I could go all night, but let me just give you one little snippet. It's if you were to take the name Jesus in the Greek, and if you were to take the corresponding letters, Jared, put the Greek gematria, put that Greek gematria back up. So if I took the name Jesus, remember each letter has a corresponding number. If I took that and put it with Jesus, all right, let's go to that. It's the Greek word Isuis. If you take that, the J is an iota. It's a 10. You take 10 plus 8 plus 200 plus 70 plus 400 plus 200. And you come up with 8, 8, 8. Now remember, if 666 is the number of a quintessential man. Does anybody remember what the number 8 signifies in the Bible? Which, by the way, I found out today at lunch, this is not the completion of my 7th year into my 8th. It's the completion of my 8th year into my 9th. But anyways, that's neither here nor there, okay? It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. But I just wanted to correct the record right there because I heard about that at Freddy's. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's my point. If God was telling us that through the Antichrist, all you're going to get is man, man, man. Does anybody remember what we said? The number 8 is the number of, say it now, new beginnings. Everywhere you find Jesus, He allows you to have a new beginning. If you're at the end, you come to Christ, there's a new beginning. If you come to Christ as a young man, there's a new beginning. If you come to Christ as an old man, there's a new beginning. Now, can I show you something? You ready for this? Now, I wish I had a picture of this. I don't have a picture of it. But if you were to go to Isaiah chapter 9, I'm not going to put this up on the screen, but if you were to go, if you want to have your mind blown in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 6, I'm done with my message. This is all just kind of gravy on the end. If you look in Isaiah chapter 9, does anybody remember what that verse says? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government should be upon his shoulders, and he should be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Here's what's interesting. If you take that verse and write it out in Hebrew, if you write that whole verse out in Hebrew, if you count every seventh letter and take the value in Hebrew of that seventh letter, all the way through that whole verse, you know what number you'll come up with? 8, 8, 8. If you look over in Isaiah chapter 11, 1 through 3, where it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, he'll be the branch that grows out of Jesse and he comes out of his roots. If you do that same thing, you take Isaiah 11, 1, 2, and 3, and you count every seventh letter, you know what you'll come up with? 8, 8, 8. Now here's what I'm trying to show you, beloved. Today in our day, do not be carried away with all the articles, with all the blog posts, and with all the doctors who got educated on WebMD through these last 7.5 months. You need to follow the Bible. You need to follow the Spirit of God. If you take a COVID vaccine, do you have the mark of the beast? No, you may die early, but you don't have the mark of the beast. If you don't take the COVID vaccine, are you more trusting in God? No, you'll probably die sooner. Here's what I'm telling you. When the mark of the beast really comes, it's not going to be a medical decision these people are making. They're saying, I believe him and I trust in him. That's why they take the mark.